Now, we're moving forward. We're going to give a go to a quick song. This is dedicated to the City Council here in Cincinnati. And we will be telling you not only the history of this marijuana ordinance that's about to sunset on March 29th here at 2007, but what has happened in the last year, who's behind it, and what we want you to do to help stop this law being put back into effect. The song coming up is In City Dreams. It is from Robin Trower's In City Dreams album. From, I believe, in the 80s at some point. I'm not sure of the year. Maybe the 90s, to be quite honest with you. I really don't know what year it came out. You can look up on the web and find that information out and see what the words are. And it is, of course, about going out into the city at night and having a party. In City Dreams, Robin Trower. All right. This is Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress, voice of the resistance. And that was Robin Trower's In City Dreams. And I dedicate that to Cincinnati, Ohio's City Council. Although I do have to say this, there is a couple of people on the City Council that I really do like. James Tarbell and David Crowley, to be exact. And we encourage you, if you are a resident of Cincinnati, make sure you're registered to vote. I do know for a fact that David Crowley is running again here in 07. I'm not sure about James Tarbell. I hope he is.
He was in the St. Patrick's Day parade looking
awesome.
Very dapper.
I was going to say probably very dapper knowing Mr. Tarbell. And so we do support their campaigns. And somebody else I want to give a plug for. I know that, as far as I know anyway, he is running again in 07. He was a council member in 2005 when the first marijuana ordinance threat came about. That's Christopher Smitherman. And we want you to support him. He supports us. We'll talk about that later in the year, of course, in other shows. But I do want to give a quick overview of exactly what has happened here in Cincinnati and what we want you to do about it. First of all, back in about 1971, I believe it was, Colonel, you can quote me if I'm wrong, the state of Ohio, with the help of Ed Orlett, who was a legislator at the time, wrote the decriminalization bill for Ohio, which took it from a felony at that time down to, for 99 grams or less of marijuana, a payout ticket that you would not even be arrested for. Now, that has been in effect in most of Ohio for 30 years. There are a couple of states, folks, cities, folks, that in the last few years have passed their own local ordinances. And I must tell you that if people think that they can get this ordinance in Cincinnati overturned because of that Ohio decrim, I have to tell you, it will not happen unless it goes to the major Supreme Court. Because sometime in the last couple of years, it did get challenged in the Ohio Supreme Court, and these cities basically won.
Really no different than the local firearms ordinances that the state of Ohio used to have, mm-hmm. and that was overturned by the state house over the Governor Taft's veto. And folks, just a one quick thing here. The 1934 National Safety Act, which regulated the sale and possession of full automatic weapons, in the 1937 Marijuana Act. The 1937 Marijuana Act was built exactly, look up in the congressional record, on the same thing. How can we control this? And what they did in the gun thing is back then to own a machine gun before 1934, mm-hmm. during the, when alcohol was illegal, Al Capone and Bugsy Malone and Pat Moran, those are the ones who invented the drive-by shooting. The Thompson submachine gun, designed by then Colonel Thompson, later Brigadier General Colonel Thompson, Brigadier General Thompson, who was born at the Southgate House over in
Newport, Kentucky, across the river.
Wonderful music venue, mm-hmm. Was readily available over the counter with no paperwork to anyone in the country. And the way they got around this is said, yeah, you can still buy them. You need to fill out the paperwork, and you have to pay a $200 transfer tax. At least with the machine guns, they did allow the purchase of it. What they did with marijuana was a very similar thing, is that we're not making it illegal. You just have to buy a tax stamp. But a few years later with the marijuana, 1934 to 1937, they just decided not to issue the tax stamps. But the reasoning behind it and the mechanism to put that in place was the same. So the idea here, fast forward, is the same with the local cities passing more strict laws than the state. In Ohio, we do have a home rule laws for a certain amount of things. So that's where that is put up at. So, yeah, if you think you're going to be able to just walk in and say, well, the state has decriminalized it, that's not going to necessarily fly.
Exactly, and it didn't in the Ohio Supreme Court. The two cities that did pass stricter marijuana laws above the decriminalization, meaning now, for instance, one of the cities, any amount could be one seat is 3 days automatically in jail. Okay, and again, that was fought, and they lost in the Supreme Court. The city has a right to make their own law.
Now, there's some seeds out there that are worth going to jail for three or four
years. That's very, very, very true. Absolutely. So in about 1971, some of the legislators here in Ohio, along with numerous other states around the country, did what they called the decriminalization bill, which brought it down to, as I said earlier, a payout ticket for 99 grams or less. Now, from 100 to 199, I believe it was a fourth-degree misdemeanor. And, you know, it goes up in increments. You can actually do a search for Ohio marijuana with an H. Ohio marijuana laws with an H, and find those laws on how they are on the books in Ohio.
And that's marijuana with an H, not laws.
Yes, marijuana with an H. And matter of fact, you can also find out the cultivation laws. In 1996, our Senate passed Senate Bill 2, which not only included a medical defense for medical marijuana use, they passed the cultivation laws, which basically made them exactly like the possession laws. 99 grams or less of cultivated marijuana is the same as if you were just possessing it. Some people think that it's four plants. It's not. It's weight, folks. Just weight. Go look it up under the Ohio laws, as I said, with an H for marijuana. Now, unfortunately, though, in 97, after that was passed, Governor Voina, I call him Voina Bitch, Governor Voinovich, what did you guys do? You didn't read the information. You passed this thing. You have to overturn that medical. So our Senate, who was smart and passed it, got stupid and overturned 6 months later that medical defense law here in Ohio. Now, again, since that time in the early 70s, we've had that decrim law. In 2005, in the spring going into the summer that year, former councilman who's now the one of our Hamilton County commissioners, David Pepper, proposed that he had a way to get all the guns off the street. Because, you know, there's just so much gun violence in Cincinnati now that they have to do something. And, of course, how do you get guns off the street, folks? Throw pot smokers in jail. That's what he proposed. And now, this was the reasoning that he used. According to David Pepper, the Ohio decriminalization law, which allows or sets it up for the cops to be able to write you a ticket if you get caught with marijuana, at least under 199 grams. That law prevents a cop from being able to search you to see if you have a weapon. Now, I say that's a bold-faced lie because the Supreme Court, not only of Ohio, but the Supreme Court of our country has ruled that with probable cause, and in most cases, a smell of marijuana is enough for probable cause for the cops to not only search your body, but search your vehicle if you happen to be in a vehicle, and probably even search your home.
And this isn't even bringing in the Terry stop. It was a law of Terry versus Ohio where that if a police officer, especially the lone police officer on a country road, can take you into protective custody, pat you down for anything, just for his own protection and yours, get you off the side of the road, put you in the back of a car, he can pat you down.
That's right, just with probable cause. Now,
this was under the Terry versus Ohio, the Terry statute. It's not even probable cause. It is simply just as a routine.
Now, that's different. You're talking about a different ruling.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not even talking about that.
Yeah,
right. Not
right.
even talking
two
about
different
that.
Things.
Two
here.
Different things.
You're talking
even,
about the pat down law.
That's right. The pat down law. And that's not even using this. And
right. But that is part of what my argument was. That first of all, without probable cause, if a cop sees somebody walking down the street, and people out there listening, you know I'm right, the cop will stop you. Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing on the street? You got your ID. I think you could be a threat to me, so I'm going to pat you down. No probable cause, just because you may be a threat. Now, the rules are they can pat you down. If they feel something hard in a pocket or in your crotch or your boot or whatever, that gives them the right to go in further to look to see what that hard thing is. So I recommend to you now, folks, don't carry your pot with your cell phone or your keys. Put it in a different pocket where it doesn't have anything hard, because if you have it where there's nothing there hard, and I don't mean your crotch, folks.
And if you're out on a date, yeah, if you're out on a date,
careful
maybe
where
not,
you put it.
Yeah, watch where you put it there.
They then cannot go into the pocket where your pot is. And I know that for a fact because my son, who's now 30, at the age of 18 in a small area here in the local area, not in Cincinnati's limits, just outside, but in the county of Hamilton County. He told the cop when the cop went to the woods, saw him and his friend sitting in the woods, they just put the joint out. Cop walks up. What are you boys doing out here? Looking at the sun, sir. I want to search you. Are you out here smoking pot? My son says, I'm sorry, sir. You can't search me. My mother's an activist, and I know my rights. The other boy says, sure, go ahead, pulls his pockets out. He didn't have nothing. Well, the cop says, but you may be a threat, young man. I'm going to pat you down. So my son lets him pat him down. He feels in the inside leather coat that he was wearing a bag of 21 grams of marijuana. And he goes in the bag, or in the pocket, and he gets it out. And he cites my son. It went to court. We pled not guilty. Or rather, I'm sorry, even before that, let me rephrase this. We didn't. First of all, it was his case. I didn't plead anything. His lawyer filed a motion to suppress the evidence on the fact that it was an illegal search. And it was thrown out by our local judge at the time, Leslie Isaiah Gaines, the junkyard dog here in town, because we brought in a bag of catnip that weighed 21 grams and said, is this hard enough to make this officer think that he had a weapon? Because if not, he went a step further when he went in that pocket, and the case was thrown out. And so the fact is, don't, first of all, as I said, put your marijuana any place where they can feel something hard next to it, because they will find your pot then. But now, that is not what David Pepper was talking about, Colonel. What he was saying is that, not even mentioning that they can do a pat down, simply that if they see you smoking a joint, walking down the street, all they can do is walk up and go, give me that joint. All right, give me the joint. Here's your ticket. I'm sorry, I can't search you anymore, you're free. Now, first of all, that's also a lie, because the Supreme Court of Ohio, and as I said, and the regular Supreme Court has ruled that if the cops have probable cause, which is the joint, folks, they can search you further. Now, can they arrest you in Ohio under the decrim? No, but they don't need to arrest you unless they want to do a body cavity search. And unless you have a gun small enough to fit up your butt, folks, I'm not quite sure why the cops need to be able to search you more than doing just a regular, let me see in your coat, your pockets, and you're feeling your boots. They can do that if they've already caught you with the marijuana. Because I can assure you, if they see you smoking a joint, they're going to look for more drugs. And while they're looking for more drugs, they can find a gun if, in fact, you're carrying a gun. So David Pepper used this lie that the decrim ticket is keeping the cops from being able to search and find all the guns. Therefore, all of the gun violence is on the rise because the cops can't find it because of all the pot smokers that they can't search.
The gun-toting pot smokers.
Pot smokers, exactly. Now, what happened that year is I led a fight with a lot of local people, a lot of local activists, and even national people were calling and writing to the city council and telling them that's ludicrous, it's not going to work. Now, at the time, it was not the whole city council. It was just the law committee. David Pepper was the head of that, the chair of that committee. And when he figured out that he only had one vote out of the six that included himself, which, by the way, was Cranley. I forget Cranley's first name.
That's John Cranley.
John Cranley. Thank you, Colonel. John Cranley.
He owns an alcohol establishment in Mount Adams of the same name. Not John, but Cranley's.
Oh, of course. You know, it's the competition. And I got a little sidebar story to talk about him at that point in a minute. But we found out that the only support David Pepper had was John Cranley. And when he discovered that nobody else, including, I might add, Lakita Cole, she at that time made statements that she did not support it and wasn't going to vote for it, he tabled it. That was June 7th of 2005. David Pepper tabled that, and it never made it out of committee. We killed it in committee. We proved to them that there was no support for this. And not only that, nobody believed the lie. Then, very quickly, David Pepper ran for mayor, and he lost his bid for mayor. Mark Mallory got in instead here in Cincinnati. Then Pepper ran for commissioner, and he made commissioner. Now, after that, in 2006, because of that election in 2005, a former police officer, retired police officer, a black gentleman named Cecil Thomas, he took up the bandwagon for Pepper and started the same drumming of the marijuana decrim keeps cops from searching because all they can do is write a ticket. Now, again, it's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie.
And what you'll hear, especially, is their thing is that, you know, these drug dealers are just so smart. They just know how much marijuana they can keep on them. We can only write a ticket, and they put all the other marijuana other places.
They hide it in a bush.
And we have no way of knowing. We can't find it. We can't connect it to them. And here again, folks, these are the same type of things that the government tries to use to suppress your Second Amendment rights. We have the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. There's a great party place for you. Saying, you know, we've got these guys going in and buying 67 guns at a time in one day, and we just don't know what to do. And they're selling them on the streets, so we don't know what to do. And, you know, folks, this is the same kind of stuff. Because what they're then saying is they're too stupid to figure out the people that are openly violating these rules, and they don't know how to catch them at them. And not only that, that they want to then have legislature target it to very specific individuals, which in and of itself is a violation of the Constitution. So it's either that the cops are, A, really stupid, and they can't figure out, because all the criminals are so much smarter and know all the law so much better than the police, or there's a hidden agenda there, which is always the more.
Well,
power.
I know what that hidden agenda is. That hidden agenda is causing such an overflow in our jail system here in Hamilton County that they have to build a third jail. That's the agenda.
Third, and maybe
but, you know,
fourth.
Back to this whole thing, because we're going to play some of the clips from the council meeting last year, and they talk about this, that the drug dealers know that it's under a certain amount is just the payout ticket, so they hide the rest of it somewhere. Now, if they know where they're hiding it, why don't they sit back, wait for the drug deal to go down, and then swoop in where they're getting all this extra stuff? Because, come on now, we have laws that are on the felony books against drug dealing. If the cops can see the people down there buying the marijuana, why can't they see the guy selling it to them and go arrest them? Because that's a felony. That's not a possession charge. So, again, not only was Pepper lying, I'm going to boldface say that Cecil Thomas is lying. They not only do not need to raise the fines on marijuana and arrest people to find the guns, and we will prove that with their own stats here in a few minutes, but it's just simply not true. It's simply not true. So let's move forward. Let's go to the first clip of, now, again, this is from March 29th. Last year in 2006, now there was a few weeks, of course, prior to this where the law committee, of which then Cecil Thomas was ahead of, he got Pepper's position on the law committee. And I'm not going to play clips from all of those meetings. It's a redundant thing of what we just talked about throughout the entire sessions. Cecil lied and kept ignoring my challenge. Show me in the law that says cops can't search people if they've seen them with marijuana. He never produced it because it doesn't exist, folks. It simply does not exist. Now, this is, the March 29th meeting. I believe we have the opening clip set. Let's see what that is, and then we'll come back with some commentary.
Item 69, first reading.
Emergency ordinance enacting new section 910-23, possession of marijuana of the Cincinnati Municipal Code.
Councilmember Thomas.
Yes. Yeah, we can just vote on it unless there want to be some additional discussion.
Councilmember Thomas, I assumed that you wanted to have some remarks. If not, we will move on to comments if other members have comments.
Well, I will then. In that case, I will have a few remarks, and then we'll just move it forward. Whichever way is fine with me.
Well, why don't we just we'll just go around and see if anybody has anything they want to say about this issue. I sort of doubt there'll be any conversation on it, actually.
Now, I have to jump in here, Colonel. I played that opening not only to establish what this meeting is about. Of course, you know, we have to make the sidebar joke. This is item number 69. Now, I don't, you know, want to digress the show, but we thought that was pretty funny. Getting screwed by the city council.
And okay. Did you hear these guys? I mean, it almost sounds like a Cheech and Chong thing here. They're not even sure where they're at. I'm not going to speak. Are we going to go around the table?
Cecil was doing, though, Colonel, is he was trying to stop any discussion and just take it right to a vote. Oh, I didn't even know we were going to discuss it. I thought we were just going to vote on it. There was, you know, 50 people. Actually, there was a lot of people. We had 20 people ourselves there waiting to talk, including Howard Wooldridge from LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. You can see who he is at www.leap.cc. He was there that day.
See how easy this would have been if they had just declared City Council a school, and then we wouldn't have been able to bring it up. Well, hey.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't do that. That's
don't
right.
Give him any more ideas.
And so I had to, as I said, play that clip just to establish that Cecil Thomas was not only trying to lie, he was trying to skirt any discussion of it. Let's just put it to a vote. Therefore, nobody can expose the lie. Okay, let's move to that next clip.
Councilmember Tarbell.
Mr. President, the law, the way it's written, has been on the books in excess of 30 years. And in the period of 30 years that I'm aware of, there has never been a challenge to this law in the way it's written in terms of whether it has provided anything but what has already been attested to as a decrease in crime in certain areas. There has never been an increase that's attributed to simple possession. And that's what we're talking about here, simple possession. We're talking about improving safety. And I don't think that when we're at a crossroads here of the allegedly improving safety at the expense of paying a very high price, that's worth it. And I think in this case, the risk of paying a very high price socially is tremendous. We say that we're giving officers another tool, and I respect that suggestion. If I thought that, in fact, was the answer, there was no question that I would support it. My sense of being on the street, literally, every day, longer than I care to suggest, to recall, is that that is not what our problem is. Our problem is not people coming from out of state. The figures speak for themselves. I believe it's 94% of the arrests involving marijuana are Cincinnati arrests. They are not out of state. So that contention simply is ill-founded. My experience on the street suggests that a lot of the folks that are would be affected by simple possession arrests are people that do not have a record, but that are vulnerable because of the environment that they live in, the environment they act in on a daily basis, doesn't provide a lot of choices. And they ended up getting arrested, convicted for simple possession. That goes on their record. Then the ones who are most vulnerable in terms of receiving jobs and employment and opportunities now are even further compromised in terms of achieving that. There's so much evidence. I don't know where to start. We've heard so much. I don't see any point in recalling all that. Everybody's heard it. I'll leave you with the following. I've not heard one testimony in this chamber in support of this ordinance from the public. I've heard a litany, and I've not gotten one communication in my office supporting this ordinance. I've heard a litany of people opposing it for a variety of reasons, most of which say don't go back in time 30 years. Work on enforcing the laws we have in front of us. Work on improving dysfunctional environments, which provoke drug use and alcohol abuse. Work on putting constructive activity back into vacant buildings in front of which is where most of this activity takes place. Don't take the emphasis off of that for a minute. We don't have any more time or money for anything else right now. I'm concerned that we pass this allegedly providing an extra tool. We don't take advantage of the tools we have in front of us right now, and we don't do the basic fundamental improvements in dysfunctional neighborhoods that we need to be about the business of doing.
Now, that was Councilman Jim Tarbell. As I said earlier, the colonel and I were talking about, he was in the St. Patrick's Day parade. He's a great guy. Apparently, if you can tell by the way he speaks, he knows what he's talking about, folks. And he was, of the two people that supported our side, knows exactly what's up. As he said, he doesn't believe that it's going to help bring the violence down either. And I have to just reiterate, why did we want to go back in time? And was there other solutions? Let's move forward to the next clip.
Thomas.
Well, first, let me thank everybody for their support in reference to this motion. And I'm going to stray off here a little bit. And first of all, offer my condolences to the Underwood family, the young man that was killed yesterday in Walnut Hills at around noon. However, I also must mention that on February the 12th, Mr. Underwood was arrested for possession of a Schedule II controlled substance, to wit, marijuana, with the possession to distribute the marijuana. Again, the incident, as the city manager alluded to, that was a marijuana deal gone bad. I don't expect the community to understand why this is critical as we begin to fight this war on drugs in our community. simply because from a law enforcement standpoint, we see it much differently. And we are out there and we understand exactly what's going on. I did this for 27 years. A large portion of my career was fighting undercover narcotics. I know this can be very effective in what we're trying to do out here. My reason for compromising was to say to the community, if it doesn't work, then by all means, we'll back it off. But we're talking about 1976, and now we're talking about 2006. 1976 up to now, obviously things have gotten tremendously worse. So with that thought in mind, I would think that we need a new strategy. And obviously that new strategy begins with every tool that we can use to address this problem. Marijuana is very prevalent in our community, and it's part of the destruction that's taking place. Opioid drug sales in the Over the Rhine area, Bond Hill, Avondale, you name it, they're there. The problem is that we need every tool we need to do that, and this is exactly what this is all about. It's not about black or white. It's not about any of the issues that I've heard here. It's all about every tool we can get to fight this war on drugs. Yes, folks do come from the other areas of our community, outside the city limits. Be it in Ohio, in Sharonville, you name it. They also come from Kentucky, and that's a reality. Anything we can do to deter that, we want to do that. We also want to be able to have some community control over those that choose to stand on the corners and do what they want to do with that amount that they know they can only get a ticket for. Well, we want to have some control over that. Hopefully that will deter from that same individual coming back to that corner once he's been in the hands of a community control. That will deter him from coming back. And if he does, he can be dealt with. Also, those who've argued, well, it'll give that young man a record that he never had. We have what is called expungement. You have an opportunity to expunge your record if you do get arrested. But we don't want to send a message that, well, it's okay. Smoke as much as you want. I heard one say with the children standing there, some one of the speakers, marijuana. We got to stop sending these negative messages, folks. This is what this law is all about. And I promise you that if the statistics does not show that this is helping, a year from now, I'll be the first to say it's not working. I'm not afraid to do that. Thank you.
Now, you know, we have to tell everybody who that was. That was former police officer, retired police officer, and councilman Cecil Thomas. And I have to say this, you know, did you catch what he said in the beginning? He had to invoke the murder that happened the day before where it was a marijuana deal gone bad.
And it was just that a deal. I believe
wasn't that
it was
convenient.
Like 5 pounds of marijuana, of which the guy didn't get paid for. Now
you can't call the police.
It goes back to the old Miami Vice.
Exactly.
Everybody's carrying weapons because everybody's carrying cash.
Right.
If it was legalized and regulated, like any other thing, if your beer supplier, your Wonder Bread, or
you call the police, you take them to court.
You take them to court and let the
recourse.
Lawyers take care of that.
Yeah.
And again, 5 pounds of marijuana is not simple possession.
Right. Well, the fact is that I don't care, folks, whether it's marijuana, I don't care if it's cocaine, I don't care if it's heroin, I don't care if it's sugar, because I can guarantee this country that if they were to outlaw sugar tonight, I can guarantee you that the drug boys on the corners will be selling white powder sugar to you on the corner the next day, and they will be shooting each other over it.
We're getting close because on the amount of sugar is that we pay twice to three times the world market price of sugar.
Yeah.
Because the United States government allows a domestic cartel in Florida, which is ruining the environment down there.
Yes.
To keep the car. I mean, most of the candy makers have moved outside the country to be able to buy sugar at a world market price.
Yeah.
But now, of course, they're getting the sugar cheaper. They're not dropping the price of the candy bars down. And here, your Frosted Flakes and stuff aren't going down, folks.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. And the thing is, you know, you can go do a search for sugar, sweet poison, right now, listening to this show, and you will find that sugar kills 1,000 people. Oh, I'm sorry, not the sugar. All illicit drugs combined is, I think, 10,000 a year. I'm getting my figures wrong. But sugar alone not only makes people sick, but kills thousands of people every year.
And throw caffeine in there, you've got at least another 5,000 plus.
And people don't realize it's the sugar, but sugar is a thing that causes a debilitating illness over time. Now, I also want to make a comment on what he said about why he compromised. The compromise, of course, was to put a one-year sunset clause on this ordinance. You know, they passed it as an emergency ordinance because, you know, obviously it was an emergency to get all the pot smokers off the streets. So he compromised because we had so much pressure on the council that we did not want this passed that they went, all right, well, we'll try it for a year, look at the stats, and then we'll see if it helped bring the murder and the gun rates down in that year. And we'll get to those stats here in a minute. I also want to make another comment about what he said about, well, you know, if they can expunge their record. He forgets to tell you how hard it is to get your record expunged and how much it costs and that you have to have an attorney to do it. So it isn't something that's very easy. And now I'm going to go over more of what he said at the last statement about if it doesn't help, he won't push to have it back. I'll play that clip again here in a few minutes. But let's move on to the next clip, see who this is coming up next.
Councilmember Vorts.
Like my colleagues, the Vice Mayor and Councilman Crowley, I have serious reservations about this ordinance, pressures that it might put on limited police resources, the pressures it will put on an already overcrowded judicial system. However, we know that the drug trade is gutting our neighborhoods. And if this is a tool that will help to address that issue, then perhaps we should take advantage of it, particularly given that there is a one-year trial associated with this ordinance to determine its effectiveness. I would hope that we would give real effort towards analyzing its impact, not just its cost, but its actual impact on reducing street-level crime. This has been a difficult decision for me in particular, and I think it would help to hear, with your permission, Mr. President, from the city manager on this issue, to determine what the street activity actually is and how this would impact street-level drug crime, drug dealing. Mr. Manager, can you speak?
Manager Rager, your perspective on this issue?
Thank you, Mr. President and members of the council. Let me first off say that there are many great minds on both sides of this issue that have given us a lot of thought, and I have a lot of respect for everybody and what they're weighing. The perspective today is that we have drug activity going on in this community at a very, in my opinion, alarming rate and with some serious problems. The shooting yesterday at 12:30 yesterday up in Walnut Hills was a marijuana drug deal gone bad. That's what we know thus far. What we also know is that the drug dealers know what the quantity is that gets you a ticket. And so what they've been doing is they will put on their person the quantity that gets them a ticket, and they hide the bulk of their marijuana somewhere around them in the neighborhood. And so when they get caught, they simply get a payout ticket. So our ability to impact the drug trafficking trade is significant. Now, I'm not naive. I know we got a full jail. I know we got a court system that's overloaded. But the expectation would be that this would get these individuals before a judge so that perhaps a judge can get them into a diversion program and start to address some of the issues. But we're not going to get them in jail. The jails are full. I also know that if we do an aggressive enforcement, we're probably just going to push the drug trafficking out into the suburb. Now, for many of the people who are buying drugs, they're just going to move to the suburbs. That's the way it is these days. But my concern is that we have many of the violence we see today in this community is all around drug trafficking of one level or another. Many of the shootings that we're seeing today are a drug trade gone bad. And the one yesterday is a good example of that.
Yeah. See, now, let me make this little comment here. You know, Councilman Bortz started out saying he was skeptical with good reason. And that, again, you know, that led into the city manager. And, you know, the problem with what's going on is that they say they're going to get it out of the downtown areas, and then it will go into the neighborhoods. And where I live, I'm not going to say where I live in the Tri-State area, except to say that it's pushing it into my neighborhood. And I don't feel safe. And frankly, as I told council last year, if you want to stop the violence, give out permits to sell drugs on the corners like you do the hot dog vendors. How many hot dog vendors do you see shooting each other?
It's just bait and switch. It's a red herring.
Well, of course
it is.
They
keep saying the drug dealers, the drug dealers.
Yeah.
It's a drug deal gone bad. Well, this is not simple possession.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
It's two separate. It's absolutely two separate things.
And
here, that
was part of what we kept telling him, Colonel, is if you want to go after the drug dealing, use the laws that are already on the books for drug dealing. You do not have to arrest the smoker. I mean, you know, I would think that arresting crack people, crack users, would get more guns off the street than going after potheads. Not that I advocate going after anybody that uses drugs. I think all drugs should be legal, folks. I think all drugs should be legal and regulated. Therefore, keep them out of the hands of our children that doesn't need them.
The dealers, here's these just absolutely criminal geniuses. They know how much marijuana that they can hold on them and hide the other stuff. Well, what, they're going to be carrying an Uzi under their coat, too? I've only got 98 grams, and I've got my digital scale, which would be... Would be trafficking with intent.
Well,
not only trafficking intent, would be drug paraphernalia.
Exactly.
Which, you know, and so it's just, again, you know, the cops are so stupid, they can't figure out. The drug dealers are so brilliant. They need help of city council because they need more laws. They need more tools to fix it. And this tool, because right here in Cincinnati, don't mind the rest of the world, we figured it out. If you bust the marijuana people, we're going to solve everything. We'll probably even fix bad teeth, you know, bad hairstyles, and clean up the Ohio River if we do this one thing. Because, you know, they've thought about it, right? These guys are geniuses, and women, men and women are geniuses. Nowhere else in the world could they possibly have thought about this. We're going to solve the entire world problems and drug dealing with this one ordinance. This is another tool. This is the final tool in the toolbox. It's going to solve all the problems.
Well, and that's exactly what they believed. Now, there is a clip that I'm going to play towards the end. We'll save that from John Cranley. But I have to say this. When this was going to the council, myself and Paul Green, one of our local activists, libertarian, Hamilton County Libertarian member, and a former president of a local community council, we were both standing in the hallway prior to going into the council session, and Councilman John Cranley was standing there, and he knows Paul, and he says, Paul, let me stop you. He says, you know, I agree with you. The drug war is an utter failure, but I really believe that this new law is going to help get guns off the street. And before Paul said something, I said, excuse me, Paul, I have to jump in here. Councilman, do you know the meaning of insanity? And he sheepishly kind of laughed, yeah, yeah. And I said, well, you know, you just keep on banging your head against the wall. You're just going to get bruised. The fact remains is this law was not the magic bullet, not to coin a pun. It was not some wonderful, magical law that was going to come in, as the colonel said, and save the day. And obviously it didn't. Let's move very quickly to the next clip.
What we need, though, is get these people to put their own money against it. Give me specifically. I want numbers. I want datum, and then you put your own money on this, folks. This works for everything. You got a bill, you find out the person's name and say, don't worry, we'll give you the rebate. Well, why don't you just give me your personal savings account, and then I'll authorize rebate to come to you. Since you're telling me, you're guaranteeing me this is your job, you're guaranteeing me this is going to work, then you won't mind standing behind your guarantee with your own money. And if they balk, you say, oh, well, that's okay. I tell you what, just give me half the money. You're going to get that. You know it's going to work.
No, I'm going to challenge them. They're going to put their word on the line, not their money.
Well, I'd rather have their money because their word isn't worth shit and their money is.
Well, that's what we're going to find out next week.
We'll get to find out if they believe, if they can choke on their own words.
Absolutely.
Here comes some more of their own words.
Councilman McCall.
Thank you. Let me say, the thing that bothers me is that we keep hearing that we need to get a handle on drugs, and now that we're trying to do that, this is not the way to go. We're going to lock up people for us, and now I'm going to have this on my record because I smoked a joint or I've done this. It's just like saying that I don't want a speeding ticket on my record, so I'm going to continue to speed. My thing is, speeding is against the law. You don't speed if you don't want a ticket. Smoking marijuana is against the law. You don't want it on your record. Don't smoke marijuana. Hand in hand. You don't do it if it's illegal. The other thing is that I continue to hear, is this going to go after blacks? And let me just say this. Blacks are not the only people to smoke weed. I think it's important to note. I am so sick and tired of people coming down here and using that race card, particularly people who came to visit me in my office. They want to pull out the race card and say that it's going to lock up the people who voted for you. Well, blacks are not the only ones to smoke weed. It was evident by the people who came down and testified today. More than half of those people who testified were not blacks. And I agree, we do need to enforce the laws that are on the book. But in case members of council don't know our role is not enforcement. Our role is policy making and law making. The information that I received, a report from the police department, that this will certainly help them in enforcing what's going on in our community, getting a handle around it. And I understand that there's some people who don't agree. I would say you're not the police officers. You're not the ones out on the street every day. You're not the ones out there seeing what is going out in the community. They are. So at some point, I do have to listen to what they're saying and figure out if this is right or wrong. I do think it's important to have the sunset law. And we talk about 30 years ago, that was 1976. In 1976, we didn't have the crime rate that we have now. In 1976, we didn't have the gun violence that we have now. In 1976, we didn't have the drug problems that are going on. In 1976, I was only 3 years old. And so I'm on council today, and I'm going to do what I think it needs to be done right. And that is setting a policy. That is my job to do, to make sure that we're trying to get a handle on the drugs and what's going on in our community. And so today, I will be supporting this ordinance. Thank you.
All right, that was Lakita Cole. Now, I have to say this. First of all, as far as the one statement she made about this is not the 70s, this is not the 70s and this the 80s, blah, 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 this is now and she's going to do this. First of all, it is the drug war, Ms. Cole, that has escalated the violence in this country. You enumerate it every year, and every year it's getting worse. And if you really truly think that this stupid law that goes after marijuana smokers is going to change that escalation.
Oh, yeah, this will change it. This is, I mean, you could hear it right here. I mean, I believe that this one law is going to change. We've just been so stupid. We've just been a bunch of adults sitting around thinking, gee, if we just bust, that's the whole thing. That's what caused the whole bit. I was alive in 1976.
I was
in high
too.
School. I can tell you, in 1976, a bag of marijuana, you could still get a nickel. $5 nickel. A bag of marijuana was $20. And in that resulting time, the price of marijuana has gone up simply because, you know, marijuana is a big, bulky thing. It's kind of, you have to grow it. It's hard to do. All the other drugs, though, are very small, bring in lots of money. As we said before, the price of cocaine has been cut in half and the purity
has doubled.
Exactly.
This is the drug war causing it.
This is what has caused it. These people have set up the situation to fail.
And they keep doing that.
And I guarantee you right now, just looking into the future, they're going to take whatever statistics we're going to give to you right here in a moment, and they're going to look at these same statistics and say, this has been a glowing success.
Right. But now I have to go over this because this woman, and I have to say, I am the happy hemptress, but sometimes I am the pissed off hemptress, okay? She, as I said earlier in this show, was on council in 2005 when David Pepper tried this the first time. And she was against it. And because she was against it, myself and many other pot smokers, and I must say most of us were white, but a lot of us were black, we encouraged pot smokers to vote for Lakita Cole in the 2005 election. And she won again and is still on council as a result. Now, I don't know if she's going to run in 07 or not. My point is, she made us think that she was against this ordinance, and we voted for her and put her back into lawmaking, as she puts it. And as a result of that, she stabbed us in the back. And I have to say this, I'm saying this to her on this show, because she not only insulted us on the council microphone that you just heard in the chambers that day, she also became a racist. Or maybe is a racist all the time. I don't really know. But I'm going to say this woman is a racist. Yes, she is a black woman. And I can assure you, I am no racist. But I can also assure you that I know exactly what she's talking about as far as people coming down and saying it's only black people that smoke pot. First of all, that is not what was said to her. And I know for a fact because I sent the gentleman to see her. The kid that went to speak to her is a member of the Students for Sensible Drug Policy, our local chapter. And his name is Todd Roy, and he went representing us, the pot smoker, that voted for Lakita Cole in the 2005 election. He went to her office to say, hello, Ms. Cole, if you support this new ordinance, you will be turning your backs on the people who voted for you. And she twisted that, not only in the chambers, on the podium, but to me personally afterwards, when she told me I didn't know what I was talking about, he was talking about black people, and no, it's not just black people that smoke pot. Well, Miss Cole, we know that. And we were not all black that voted for you. We were just all pot smokers. That is what Mr. Roy was trying to get across to you, and I say that here and now on Hemp Rock Radio to you. We are not racist. You are the racist. You are the one that turned it into a black issue. We were simply talking about pot smokers. You turned your back on us and you voted for what you originally said you were against. That, ma'am, is going against the voter, us, the pot smoker.
And if we want to fix the speech, no, white males are by far the largest consumers of illicit drugs. But I challenge anyone out here, go down to the Hamilton County Courthouse, sit in the drug court, and you tell me who the preponderance of those people
are
arrested.
They're black.
It's a fact. Go down to the jail. Go down and just take a look and see what's going on here. The black community has been devastated.
Absolutely.
This is not a racial thing. It's an opportunity thing. During Prohibition, the Italians and the Irish happened to live in the sections of Chicago and other places like Cincinnati where they had large rundown warehouses and places where they could brew and distill beer.
Exactly.
It wasn't that the Swedes and the other people weren't consuming it. They did not have the territorial type thing. And what's happened in the drug wars is that the inner city urban youth, who are by far of African-American, black culturally, they have the streets. They control the drug trade. It is an opportunity. In the suburbs, you've got to drive a lot further.
Well, let's face it. This is not a racist statement, folks, but it is a fact. And, you know, all I can say is white drug dealers do it out of homes and buildings. And not that all, and I'm not going to say that all black people always sell on the street corners, because obviously they don't. Okay. But I have yet to see in the white neighborhoods, the white guy standing on the corners. Now, this is not a racist statement. That's just the way it is. And that is because of the way the drug war has done the scourge in the poor neighborhoods of especially the black neighborhoods. Unless we could go back and go to the 80s, Ollie North dumped cocaine in all the neighborhood, all the major cities that were like Detroit, Atlanta, the cities that had a lot of black people. They dumped it into the black neighborhoods to create chaos in the neighborhoods.
It's nothing
and that
more.
Is what we have today. Now, I have to add, Cecil Thomas, although Lakeeta Cole says it's not a black issue and it's not a race issue, it was Cecil Thomas in his statement that made the comments about the horrible neighborhoods that it's happening in. And he named Avondale, Walnut Hills, and areas that are predominantly black neighborhoods. I'm not saying all.
And, folks, this is just like fast food restaurants. You know, you have lots of fast food restaurants congregated in one area. You don't have as many sit-down restaurants. Where are the sit-down restaurants? You know, out in farther out in the suburbs where there's not as much competition and they can bring you in. And folks, that's all it is. It's a mechanism of the trade itself. We have very bright black entrepreneurs. I mean, they're looking at it as a business as anything else.
Exactly. And they will protect their business. Now, I have two more things to say about Ms. Cole. She made a statement that, hey, just because you want to smoke marijuana, if you make that choice, it's against the law, you're going to go to jail. Well, you know, I know this is going to piss some people off, but you know what? We have a right to First Amendment, as we established in the first hour of this show. And this is not animosity. This is a statement that I will make every day until I get it through somebody's head. Just because it's against the law doesn't mean we shouldn't break the law. It was Reverend Martin Luther King who made the statement. It is unjust to obey an unjust law, and it is just to disobey. I probably just screwed that whole quote up, folks. I'm really sorry about that, and I apologize. It is simply, if the law is wrong, it is your duty to break that law.
And you
now,
know,
that wasn't the exact quote,
the military,
but that's what he said.
In the military, it comes down to the Nuremberg rule. If you do not have a right or an obligation to follow an illegal, unjust order. You can't say, I was ordered to do it. And, you know, anybody out there that hides behind the fact, it's a law, we passed a law.
But this is the whole point. It was also against the law for slaves during slavery to run. Is Miss Cole going to tell me to my face that she would tell black people, her ancestors, not to run as slaves?
That's what the Supreme Court
said.
That
was against the law.
The Supreme Court told Dred Scott, sorry, you can't file for this because being black, you are not a citizen. You have no rights.
Yeah.
And obviously that was and even go one step further, Miss Cole. Think about this. If men who were in power at that time voted to give women the right to vote. I don't know how you give rights, but
yeah.
If men gave, can us men get together again and say, nah, we're just kidding. We're going to vote and,
exactly.
and take the rights back again. And would she then say that she does not have the right to say anything about it? Would the law's the law? The law's the law. It can never be changed.
I said so.
I mean, the rest of the guy said, you can't vote. You women can't vote.
That's right.
And that's the way it was.
You know, I can only say to Ms. Cole and the rest of the people on the council that voted for this ordinance, the blood is on your hand, and we'll get to that in a minute. We've got a couple of more clips that we want to get in, and then we'll do a brief overview of the stats and a challenge to the city council. Play that next clip, Colonel.
I think we got it here. Let's check it out.
Councilmember Giz.
Thank you. This has been a very, not only because I've been bombarded, and we all have for the past month, with people banging down our doors to tell us why this is a bad idea, but it has been very difficult for me to decide how to come down on this issue. I had a very difficult time with it as originally written, and luckily a compromise was reached, and we put a 12-month time frame on it so that it would sunset. And I promise you that even though in voting for this today, in 12 months, I will beat Mr. Thomas to the punch. If we do not have statistics that support it is working and it is curbing the drug crimes in this city, I will be the first to ask to have it repealed. And election year or no, it doesn't matter to me because I have to try everything first. And then if it doesn't work and we get poor statistics, which I anticipate we will get poor statistics on it, but if we don't, fantastic, it worked, then I will be the first to ask to have it repealed.
Let that next clip run.
I just wanted to add there, she's willing to try everything first. Maybe she should try some of this to find out what she's voting on.
Try the marijuana and see if it's really worth throwing people in jail for.
Yeah, we don't know, but we're just going to throw some people in jail. We're going to try this again. There again, like they're the only ones in the world who ever thought of this.
Play that last clip. This is, we've heard this already, but
trying to do out here. My reason for compromising was to say to the community, if it doesn't work, then by all means, we'll back it off. And I promise you that if the statistics does not show that this is helping, a year from now, I'll be the first to say it's not working. I'm not afraid to do that. Thank you.
Now, number one, Ms. Giz, you complained not only in that little statement there, but you complained to other people, and you were overheard on the bench saying this, that you were so disgusted by how many people called and emailed and showed up at your office that she didn't even have time to go to work in her regular law office.
So let me get this straight here. I mean, so the people, the citizens,
yes,
of
who
this,
voted this woman into
this,
power,
of this elected official,
yes,
is actually taking time
her.
Is actually taking the time to redress government.
Yes.
And
that just bothered her, took her time up.
And that they were so swamped with people that found that this particular ordinance
was
wrong,
crap.
Was wrong, that they decided to disregard the will, the opinion, the collective knowledge.
Like Jim Carbell said,
of those people.
Not one person was for this.
Well, the police.
Except for the cops.
The police.
Yeah.
And mainly even then,
yeah.
It's not the rank and file cops. It's
no.
the political skirt
exactly.
chasers, the police chiefs
exactly.
who are doing that. So, yeah. So here again, it's their own words, folks. We're not trying. I mean, you've heard it. Their own citizens are so disgusted with the citizens telling them that this is bad legislation that they're just going to say, screw you, we're going to do what we
You're
want.
You're bothering me.
And we'll look at it in a year from now, and we got the facts right here.
Right here in front of us. And, folks, you can go to the website, to hemprock.com, right back to the Hemp Rock Radio page, and there is a link there to the stats for the Cincinnati Marijuana Ordinance. You can pop it up and read along with us. I'm going to very quickly go over these stats from 2005. Now, number one of the reasons why Councilman Thomas claimed that we had to do this was because we were being bombarded by Kentucky and Indiana people to come over here and buy our drugs because over there, they throw them in jail. Well, now, in effect, what he said is that there's just no room for people in Cincinnati because of all these people coming from Kentucky. Well, here were the actual stats. You can go over them with us. The total number, although I don't think that this figure is actually in here, the total number of tickets written in Cincinnati in 2005 was roughly 5,700. The breakdown of that was 5,200, or 89.37% of those were from Ohio. Kentucky, out of the 5,700 people, was only 144, 2.46%. Indiana was 14 people. Other states all combined was 18 people. Unknown states were 444.
Unknown states.
Unknown. How do they not know what state somebody's
is
from?
Is that the states where you don't have to pay tax?
I don't know. Were these 446 states. People cited for not having a driver's license or an ID as well? Because they would know what state they're from. I don't understand that. The point is, folks, it ended up being about 2.5% of the whole total was Kentucky, 144 people. For that, out of the over almost 6,000 people, that was his reasoning because there's so many people. Now, that's like one person every other day, every other 2.5 days from Kentucky. Now, here's the new stats. The total, roughly about 3,000 arrests, because remember, these are not tickets, folks. These are now arrests, in 2006. And the percentage
means right off the bat there, you have to think about this, folks, because it used to be a write and scoot type thing. The police officer's time with the offending citizen was much less. Now it is an arrest. The police officer has to take
3 hours for booking.
Has to take the individual.
Has to go
into
to court.
Physical custody. Put them in the car. Inventory their vehicle if it's there. Search them. Take them downtown or to the district office wherever there happens to be, where they are then interrogated, researched, booked, then transported down to the holding facility, as the Happy Hemter said, then show up in court to testify. All this time.
And that's only if it's one hearing.
And that all this time, there's two things happening. We do not have a police officer or multiple police officers, especially if the supervisors are brought in on the case, patrolling our streets. And a lot of the donut shops are becoming poorer because the officers are just not out on the streets procuring their products. So there is some people, because I guarantee you, looking at this right now, they're going to say, well, look, the overall amounts of citations are down.
Well, I have a perfectly good explanation for that. Cecil Thomas is right about one thing. In Kentucky, you could be arrested, and now since you can be arrested in Cincinnati, at least through this ordinance sunset, what's the point of coming over here to party, even if you live in Ohio? Go over to Kentucky and buy your pot because you can be arrested on either side of the river. And guess what? In Kentucky, you can go in a bar and smoke a cigarette, but not in Ohio. So not only did this ordinance kill any tourism from marijuana smokers, most of the tobacco smokers are now, anybody that wants to have a good time is going to go to Newport on the Levee.
And I believe
screw
it was
downtown Cincinnati.
And I believe it was, Tommy, that you can listen to the back, you can backtrack and listen to it again. But as I said, the idea that this was probably just going to push it out into other areas.
And that's
pretty much what it's doing. But I don't, like I said, I mainly believe is that you have to look at the arrests and the amount of time it takes, and we'll get into some of the other.
Let's move on to the most important stats, the crime rates, because this is truly why Cecil Thomas, David Pepper, and everybody who supported this ordinance said, yes, we're going to do this because we believe it is going to be the magic bullet and going to get all the guns off the street.
That pun wasn't intended there, was it?
Well, yes, of course it was. Here is the number of guns used in crimes for 2005. 1,124 guns were used in crimes. In 2006, guess what, folks? 1,553. Now, this does not reflect the fact that they claim they're finding more guns. That's just how many gun crimes were reported. That doesn't mean the perpetrators were caught. That is a 27%, almost 28% increase, okay, in 1 year since this ordinance took effect. Number of handguns used in crimes in 2005 was 838. In 2006, 1,006. That's a 16.7% increase. Again, these are not necessarily people that got arrested and they found the guns through marijuana. These are actual gun crime stats. They did not find the gun on the pot smoker.
So instead of the...
These are guns they didn't find on the pot smoker. Of course, I jest. Yeah.
So instead of the intended effect of getting handguns off the street,
it's caused other crimes to go up.
Reducing crimes committed with them, the number of crimes committed with handguns actually increased by almost 17%.
Right.
And folks, we're probably preaching to the choir out there, but just turn on your news on any given day. There are shootings. There are murders.
Oh, we've got those stats too, Colonel. We've got, in 2005, there were 69 murders.
And gee, let me think. Because of this magic bullet law, I remember distinctly. Let me see. Maybe it was short-term memory loss, but I think 2006 was just
a John Lennon
peace and love Strawberry Fields day,
well,
right?
Of course.
That's what happened, didn't it?
Except that for those 80 people that got killed. So a 15%, actually 15.9, almost 16% increase in murder. And I can assure you, 99.9% of those were gun crimes, folks. Those were the guns they did not find on all the pot smokers that they were arresting.
And this is
rape. Rape is up almost 5%. 61 rapes in 05, 64 in 06.
And my
robberies
favorite,
up.
Right here. This is my favorite. Let me touch this one. Robberies. And, of course, folks, this is only for Cincinnati. This does not include surrounding areas like Norwood, Lincoln Heights, Westchester, areas like this.
Yeah, this is just Cincinnati.
This is just Cincinnati. Robberies.
Not even the whole county.
Not even the whole county, just Cincinnati. Robberies. We had 717 robberies in 2005. In 2006, because of the police lack of presence, because of this ordinance, the police not being on the streets, we have
too busy processing pot smokers.
There was 1,034 robberies. So your chance of being robbed
has gone up since this marijuana ordinance came into
effect. 4.2%. You have almost a 50%. Better chance of getting robbed in Cincinnati because of this.
Yes. You are less safe. Burglary is also up. There was 833 in 05 and 889 in 06. That's a 6.7% increase. The only things that are down is aggravated assault went down by a few points, 1.8%.
They're spending less
same
time.
With larceny.
They're spending less time with everybody. They don't have time to do the thorough aggravated assault. They're just robbing you and moving on because there's so many targets out there.
You know, if the drug dealers know that they're watching them more because of this ordinance, do you think it's more feasible for them to make money going and robbing than selling drugs?
There again, there is a coordination to this, to the concealed carry laws in many of the states, is that what they find out is that when the states pass concealed carry laws, such as Cincinnati and Ohio, that your personal crimes and assaults generally go down, and a lot of your property crimes will go up. Cincinnati just passed a concealed carry law. We'll see how this works out in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, you quit attacking people and breaking into their houses, and you start ripping off the cars and the pot machines. But folks, just listen to your radio, your television, pick up the newspaper, just think about tomorrow, what's the next shooting? I mean, just in the last couple of days, we've had shootings in Westchester, and the comment that was brought to me by a very unlikely source, when these kids were driving around smoking marijuana, they also had opiates, I believe OxyContin, and they had handguns. These kids have grown up in an anti-drug environment, but the culture that they are in is one of acceptance of alternate drugs. They were not drinking alcohol. I don't even believe they had cigarettes on them, but don't quote me on that. But they were being pulled over for a possible improper lane change. And now,
meaning they didn't turn their turn signal on.
Now, the problem with this is because they know in their own mind, you know, and being young and being invincible, that they're never going to go to jail. And now in a split second, they see police lights behind them, and it's for a traffic infraction. But they know because of the invasive police procedures that we're not interested in just simply making our streets safer by having better driving. They want to investigate more and dig in deeper. So these kids now are looking at mandatory sentencing because of, especially of the opiates that they now have. And the drug war has forced them to fight back. As in any war, folks, the political reasons that we're going to war doesn't matter to the soldiers in the field, and it doesn't matter to the people in the streets. They know that they're with their friends, they're doing something that they, in their own culture, is accepted, and they know another group of people with guns are coming in and wanting to take that lifestyle away from them. It is a war, and folks, you know, it's been a one-sided massacre for a long time.
Yes, it has.
And we are not advocating any fighting back or certainly assaulting
just
police officers.
Active.
But, you know, folks, the reality is this is what's happening. In Westchester, like I said, in the last couple of days, there's been shootings continually.
That's crazy.
In Westchester. So, folks,
suburbia.
The law and the statistics are here.
Absolutely.
So I can't wait to see. Was it Giz that said she'd be the first one in line?
Yeah, actually, play those last two clips. I believe it is 12 and 13. Play those two clips because I want to reiterate not only to the listener, but to the council if they hear this show.
Councilmember Giz.
Thank you. This has been a very, not only because I've been bombarded, and we all have for the past month with people banging down our doors to tell us why this is a bad idea, but it has been very difficult for me to decide how to come down on this issue. I had a very difficult time with it as originally written, and luckily a compromise was reached, and we put a 12-month time frame on it so that it would sunset. And I promise you that even though in voting for this today, in 12 months, I will beat Mr. Thomas to the punch. If we do not have statistics that support it is working and it is curbing the drug crimes in this city, I will be the first to ask to have it repealed. And election year or no, it doesn't matter to me because I have to try everything first. And then if it doesn't work and we get poor statistics, which I anticipate we will get poor statistics on it, but if we don't, fantastic, it worked, then I will be the first to ask to have it repealed.
Councilmember Thomas.
I know this can be very effective in what we're trying to do out here. My reason for compromising was to say to the community, if it doesn't work, then by all means, we'll back it off. And I promise you that if the statistics does not show that this is helping, a year from now, I'll be the first to say it's not working. I'm not afraid to do that. Thank you.
Now, I'm gonna close here. I have to say to these council folks, do what you said you were going to do. It did not work. It wasn't going to work. We knew it wouldn't work. The blood of anybody that has been killed in the last year, the blood of anybody who's been robbed and hurt or raped and hurt, whatever, the blood is on your hands, folks. And I challenge you, as a voter in Cincinnati with lots of friends who vote, we are watching you, and we will not vote for you if you vote this ordinance back into law. You have to do what you said. That is the job of the politician that we put in office. You said if it didn't work, you would not put it back into law. And that is what we as citizens who vote for you expect. Do the right thing. Prove to this city and the rest of the country that you learn from your mistakes. And let this marijuana ordinance sunset on March 29th. Now, this is what I want you, the listener, to do. You, the listener out there, I want you to, of course, not only get on the Hemp Rock mailing list, you can get information from us about this. You can also go to back to the hemprock.com radio page and get all the information, the addresses, email addresses, and telephone numbers of each council member. And there are 9 of them, folks, including the mayor. Even send information to the mayor. The mayor did not support this ordinance. He, I believe, did not sign it. Let it go into law without signing it, and that was his protest on it. He knew it wasn't going to work, so we support Mayor Mark Mallory. We want you to email the council, call them. Now, if you don't have time to go do all that, you can do this. Call the council clerk at 513-352-3246. Again, that's 513-352-3246. You can ask the council clerk to transfer you to each of the council members one by one and leave them messages. Tell them, do what you said you would do. Let the law die. Do not write it back into law because it, instead of doing what it said it would do, gun crimes have increased instead. I don't know what else to tell you other than they lied and now more people are gone as a result, more blood in the streets and unfortunately. Yeah.
And the innocent victims. I mean, you always hear the same thing, too. They're willing to try anything. Well, gee, why didn't you try freedom?
Why didn't you try legalization?
Why don't we try freedom? There's something.
Taxing and regulating.
There's something. Now, you
there's
may
a
have,
new idea.
Now, there is certainly a downside if you're the only island of freedom around. But, you know, freedom will spread very quickly. So they're willing to try anything. The innocent victims, the innocent bystanders by the shots that are fired, the property damage that is done by the shots that are fired, all this has increased because of their actions. And I guarantee
Blood's
you,
on their hands.
I guarantee you, this being recorded before the council session, they will look at the statistics, and by God, they're going to come up with a politician's spin on this.
Oh,
and
of course.
Say, this is because if we didn't, the murder rate might have been 90 or 100. We've saved it. So, see, folks, it doesn't matter what they say. You've heard it on your own word. You've heard it out of their own mouths. What they need to do is try freedom. Don't be trying anything. Try the one thing. Try freedom. Try listening to the people. Don't be disgusted that people are banging your door down. How many
exactly.
other issues have people come to? So an issue like this, that she had even admitted, that she fully expects to get bad
results.
Back. So you decided to vote for it anyway?
No, I thought it wasn't going to work.
I'm going to send my kid out. I know it's freezing out there, but I just believe that a bathing suit and a bathing cap in minus 20 degree weather, I think that's going to work. And I know I'm going to get bad statistics.
No.
But
she knew it wasn't going to work, but wanted to try it
we're
anyway.
We're going to try it anyway. So these are the kind of people, folks. Like I say, the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And, you know, here at the Marijuana Militia, you know, maybe we ought to start thinking about, you know, other ways of getting people in there to represent us. And that may be a whole different show at a whole different,
I think it probably
whole
is.
Different angle. But
yeah, the whole point is, you know, one stat that I know they're going to use, and I'll say this, is the stats of how many tickets in 05 versus how many arrests for marijuana in 06. That was about cut in half, maybe a little bit less than half,
there
as a
again,
matter of fact.
The timing it takes.
Well, no, here's the point. Just because less marijuana arrests have occurred versus the year before doesn't mean that they did their job. I'm going to tell the council now the reason why is because I and people like myself got the word out to the pot smokers around the tri-state area and warned them not to come into Cincinnati with marijuana. Not about buying marijuana. Don't bring it into the city. Don't come to the city. Don't spend your tax dollars. Therefore, there was only half the amount of people that they could seek out in the downtown over the Rhine areas, because that's where most of this is taking place. There was just less pot smokers to catch. That's why that number went down. But that wasn't the issue. They claimed it was to find the guns. And again, they did not find the guns. All they did was find the gun crimes that have increased. So I, again, urge the council. Now, I don't have to urge Councilman Tarbell and Crowley. They already know what's going on. They, a matter of fact, I did not get a chance to play David Crowley's clip. I will be putting these clips up on the website. You can go listen to each one of them individually. They'll be on the same page that you found this show on. You can hear all of the clips. The entire council session, if you want to, from March 29th of last year is also up on the page. These stats that we've read to you, see for yourself, folks, what they said. What happened? Get up off your butt. I know too many of you out there like to listen to shows like this, like to get high, like to think you're out doing something if you come to an event, but it's now, folks. It's now or never here in the Cincinnati area. And I encourage everybody outside of Cincinnati to also call and email the council and let them know that you think this city is foolish if they put it back into law and you will not come spend money and tax money here in this city. You will go to Newport, Kentucky instead. You know, if you can get arrested on both sides of the river and you can't even, and I don't even smoke tobacco, Colonel, but if you can't smoke tobacco in this state, why do you want to party in Cincinnati? Go to Kentucky, because not only can you smoke your tobacco, it's the same on marijuana. So what's the difference? There's no incentive to come spend money in Cincinnati. So don't spend money in Cincinnati if you don't live here. If you live here, call them, email them, urge them that you will not vote for them in 07 if they do not do what they said, which is back down and let this law die, folks.
And, of course, show up for the protest down at the courthouse in the short march around the corner.
Absolutely.
For the marijuana march.
Absolutely. We are going to go ahead and close this first ever Hemp Rock Radio on the web. And of course, stay tuned to HempRock.com because we have more shows coming, folks. HempRock Radio is back. It is back on the web, and it is on the WEED Radio Network. And I am the Happy Hempter's voice of the resistance. He is Colonel Cannabis. We will remind you again in the future, but don't forget May 5th. The Global Marijuana March is downtown on the Hamilton County Courthouse steps, and we will give you those times in the next show. That evening will be a Hemp Rock music fundraiser in Miami Town at the Riverfront West Sports Park. We'll be announcing the bands. The sponsors for that event, of course, are Hustler Stores Cincinnati Monroe, Hemptations O'Brienville on Madison Road, DetoxForLess.com. You can get them at 877-420-DETOX. I forgot Hemptations, of course, is 871-HEMP, 513 area code. Since you're sitting here on the web, instead of giving out the numbers again for the Hustler Stores, just do a quick search for Hustler Hollywood Stores. You'll find all that information and see how many other stores they have across the country. We love the Hustler Boys. Also, Hippie Bob's new store in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. You want to check that out. Those are our sponsors. We will be talking more about that in, again, the future shows, May 5th, Cincinnati's Global Marijuana March. And it will be a march, like we said, from the courthouse steps around to the Justice Center to wave to the jail prisoners for marijuana.
Well, I tell you what, Empress, I'm going to be packing up my backpack and heading out to the growing fields. This is the Colonel Cannabis with the Marijuana Militia. Saying, hope you all have a hempy day. It's not important if you know who your council members are. It's important if your council members know who you are.
Absolutely. And don't forget, stay with us. Get on the Hemp Rock list. Get on HempRock.com. Get on my email list. You can also call us at the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. And, of course, as I said, I'm the Happy Hempter's voice of the resistance. He is Colonel Cannabis. We are the Hemp Rock Radio Show, a member of the WEED Radio Network. And we will see you and talk to you on the next show.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
You've been listening to Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, voice of the resistance. Stay tuned for more Hemp Rock Radio shows with the Happy Hemptress, Colonel Cannabis, Roland A. Doobie, and others. Keep up with Hemp Rock here on the web at HempRock.com or call the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. Hemp Rock Radio is a Hemp Rock production and a member of the WEED Radio Network. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio on HempRock.com. You can also join us at MySpace.com/HempRock.
Meet me in the garden. I've got salmon in my tears. St. Peter, I can't see your house from here. An honest man finally reaped what he had sown on a farmer in Ohio. It's just for paying the loan.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Another miracle.
By the grace of God Almighty and the pressures of the marketplace, the human race was civilized itself. It's a miracle.